Hey everybody, Mark Ashton here, coming to you on November 25th from the Schuyler Retreat Center in Schuyler, Nebraska, actually the St. Benedictine Retreat Center, a place I like to go from time to time just to spend a day and meet with God and spend some time in prayer, and today, of course, do this accelerator for all of you. I just got done reading through the passages in Acts chapter 13 and 14 and 15 that were our readings for today, and one of the things you'll notice in our readings is that there's a major shift that happens in these chapters in the book of Acts. The shift happens from the center of attention being in Jerusalem and on Peter to being centered in the rest of the Mediterranean basin with Paul as your main character. Now, Paul heads out from this very first chapter here that we read today out on a missionary journey. It's his first missionary journey. The book of Acts records three different missionary journeys that Paul completes. Two of them are kind of a loop where he goes out and then comes back to a place he started. And the third one leaves him in Rome, and that's the place that the book of Acts ends. Well, you'll notice that this one opens up with a great passage that talks about the leadership of the church at Antioch that sends Paul out. And it talks about the people who are there: Barnabas, Simeon called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. Now, one of the things that you'll notice here is you've got a couple of Jewish guys. You've got Barnabas, who actually wasn't from Israel originally, but he was a Jewish guy. And then you've got Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch. He would have been very, very Jewish. You've got Saul, who is from Tarsus. You've got Lucius, who was from Cyrene. That's European Mediterranean location. And then Simeon called Niger. He was called black, probably because he was a black man. So you've got this great multi-ethnic leadership team, probably from Europe and Africa and Asia, all working together to lead the church. It's no wonder that Antioch was one of the biggest churches. They had beaten the multi-ethnic monster from the very first place that they started. And this group was not ashamed to send out two of their very best leaders to go out and take the world for Jesus. So they set aside Barnabas and Saul, they pray over them, they fasted, they placed their hands on them, and they sent them off. Again, this is a great model for our churches to not be embarrassed to take our best and our brightest and to send them out not only as church planters, but as missionaries to the far corners of the world. That's something that has been a high priority for Christ Community Church for many years, and it has its precedent right here in Acts chapter 13. Take your best and set them apart. Well, you notice that one of the key things that happens during this time is that John Mark decides that he's going to abandon Paul and Barnabas and chicken out and go back, and it becomes a cause for resentment that'll come back a little bit later on in our readings. Eventually, they'll reconcile with each other, but you'll want to note that he took off. Now, the message that Paul gives in Acts chapter 13, when he gets to Perga and Pamphylia, and especially to Antioch in Pisidia. Now, this is a different Antioch. It's Antioch in Pisidia. He gives a sermon that's focused on the Jewish people. It's very instructive. He goes through Moses and David and Jesus, and then he talks about what the implications are for the people at the time. And this is a very good sermon that he gives, but you'll notice it's very Jewish-oriented. He has in mind a target audience who would understand the Old Testament scriptures, and he uses those as his basis to persuade them. We'll be taking a look when we hit Acts chapter 17 at the sermon in Athens, which has very different assumptions, and you'll notice that it uses no scripture and different things to refer to. But for this one, the Jewish people are the target. And this sets up a pattern. This city and this missionary journey sets up a pattern for Paul and Barnabas. They go to the synagogues first, and they preach to the Jews. Why? Because they have a lot in common with them. They're the people who have been the people of God for centuries. They're the ones who are expecting a Messiah. So you would go to them first, not only to honor them, but because you have so much in common. But if the Jewish people reject you, or if part of them reject you, which they do in every city, then you move on to the Gentiles. And Paul begins to preach to the Gentiles, and you'll see that that transition takes place in, around verses 44 through 52. You also see another pattern established, and this is kind of a comical pattern in this series of cities that Paul and Barnabas visit, and that is that some of the people love Paul and Barnabas, and some hate them. and Paul winds up getting beaten up, and in this case, he winds up getting stoned, which means people are throwing stones at him. It doesn't mean the way we normally think of getting stoned here in our culture, but instead, it means he's left almost for dead. And he is rescued by his friends, and he winds up getting better, either naturally or supernaturally being healed, and eventually makes his way back to the original Antioch, which was in Syria, and his first missionary journey is completed. But those patterns that he establishes on the first missionary journey of going first to the Jews, then to the Gentiles, having some love him, some hating him, getting beat up and kicked out of cities, well, we'll see that pattern happening over and over and over again. And I think it's just a part of the way that God goes about doing his business. Well, after this, a huge debate ensues because some people from Jerusalem who were not commissioned to do this come up to Antioch in Syria, that's Paul's home base, and they start telling people, you got to get circumcised before you become a Christian. You have to become a Jew before a Christian. It's called Judaizers. And this is trouble from the beginning because how many people want to get circumcised as an adult? Not very many. And Paul says this is the wrong way of going about it. He says people who are Gentiles are saved the same way that Jewish people are saved. They're saved by grace through faith. Listen to what it says in chapter 15, verses 11 and 12. No, we believe it's through the grace of our Lord Jesus that we're saved, just as they are. The whole assembly became silent as they listened to Barnabas and Paul telling about the miraculous signs and wonders God had done among the Gentiles through them. What they're doing is they're comparing the theory of the people who are saying this is what should happen with Gentiles with the reality of what they're experiencing with the Gentiles. God's doing amazing miracles, so how can you say that they can't be Christians if they're not circumcised yet? Well, the council meets together and they say this makes a lot of sense. Send back a commission of people that winds up going back to the Jewish people or the Gentile people and the Jewish people who are Christians in Antioch and tell them that there's a few requirements they're going to have to follow. Abstain from food sacrificed to idols, from blood, from the meat of strangled animals, and sexual immorality. These are the things that could really get you off track. Idol worship, sexual immorality, etc. It's not the circumcision issue that's a big deal. You just keep that private to yourself, and you can come to faith in God because we're saved by grace through faith. The significance of this moment is that it officially, formally opens up the gospel to the Gentiles. Peter already was personally for this because of his experience with Cornelius in Acts chapter 10, but now it becomes the church's official position, and so the door of the gospel is opened up to ordinary Gentiles like you and me, and that changed the world. May the gospel change your heart these days. God bless you.